Good morning, boys and girls.
Good morning.
We're turning to Hebrews, chapter 11. You don't really need me to tell you that anymore. You know where we're going in our studies. We're looking, please, at verse 11. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. This is the first mention of a lady in this wonderful record of faith. First mention of a lady. And therefore, there's something significant for the girls here today. Not, but there is also that which the boys need to learn. But here's a verse that helps the girl to realize that you have a place in God's work. You have a place in God's work. Because the first thing I want to say is, faith is not just a man thing. Now, it's true that in God's purpose, men play a key role. Men are called of God to fill the offices in the church. Of course, today, because most churches have departed from the Word of God, you don't find that rule kept. Consequently, it has become common in these days for us to see lady, female ministers. Presbyterian Church, Methodist Church, Church of Ireland, many other churches have lady ministers. That's contrary to the Word of God. That's not what the Bible teaches. Of course, the churches that have ladies filling these offices don't care really what the Bible says. I have heard the matter discussed and read of such discussions, and rarely, if ever, is the Bible mentioned, especially by those who, for one reason or another, are opposed to women holding office in the Church of Jesus Christ. Very few ever refer to what the Bible says. But boys and girls, we must learn that God has ordained that men fill the office of minister or elder or deacon in the church. But God has used women folk. God has used women folk. And I want to emphasize that today, you see, as we look at this verse. An important thing it is for each one of us to understand just what does God require of me? Because you can't answer that from your own wisdom. If you try to answer what is God's will for you by yourself, you'll make a mistake. You've got to have the Lord tell you. And when it comes to the matter of how men and how women serve God, we've got to consult the Bible. The first thing we're looking at then is that faith is not just a man thing. Not just a man thing. Not that every man has faith. Maybe not every boy here has faith. Faith in God. I mean a reliance on Him and a believing of Him. Maybe you don't have that. But when it comes to the service of God, which calls for faith in Him, reliance on Him, obedience to Him, it's not just a man thing. Men are chiefly called to witness for the Lord, the Bible reveals that, but not exclusively. There are the Sarahs. Just remember this, long before Jacob, who was a very important man in the work of God, but long before Jacob was called a prince, Sarah was called a princess. That's what her name means. God made her a princess. He inducted her, because of her faith, into the royal line. She was a princess. In Genesis chapter 17, the verse 15, we read, "And God said unto Abraham, As for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her, and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her." Sarah became, thus, under God, a very important person. A mother of nations, kings came of her. She was the princess, made so by God. And that long before Jacob became a prince, God changed Jacob's name to that of Israel and said, "You are now a prince with God." But before he said that to a man, he said to the woman, Sarah, you are now a princess with God. Just you learn that. Men sometimes take upon themselves a sense of importance, a sense of superiority over women that's not of God. I have been in churches where the women aren't really allowed to pray in the prayer meeting. Now they pray, but they pray silently. They're not allowed to pray out as the men do. I never could agree with that at all. Never. And I base my thinking on that matter on the Bible, where I have recorded for me to read prayers by godly women. Mighty prayers. Mighty prayers. I want you to notice also under this heading that faith is not just a man thing, that many of God's greatest servants were women. There were times when women, as it were, outran the men in the service of God. In the book of Judges, chapter 4, we read about a man called Barak. He was raised of God to deliver Israel from her enemies. They had become slaves, virtually, to a man called Sisera. And he dominated the land. And the Israelites had to do what he said. And God raised the man Barak to deliver them. And we read how that a prophetess was in the land. This is one of the exceptions to the rule. Now God makes the rules and God's allowed to make exceptions to the rule. Men are not allowed to do that. But God can. He's the rule maker. And in that time, there was a prophetess in the land, her name was Deborah. And she told this man Barak, God has called you to deliver the land. And he answered her when she said this to him, that it was God's will that he lead the resistance against Sisera and overthrow his army. It says in Judges chapter 4, the verses 8 to 9, and Barak said, if thou wilt go with me. I'm not going on my own. You must come with me. That shows the important place, as far as Barak was concerned, that this woman, Deborah, hail, I want your company. Now, it's but right. Not one of us ever venture out to do something for God without having the company of the one who has given us God's word. She was, in a sense, God's word, as far as Barak was concerned. She was the source of God's instruction. And it has to be said that he was right in saying, I want you with me, so that you can instruct me. Well, he says, I want you to come with me, otherwise I'll not go. But if thou wilt go with me, then I will go. And she said, I will surely go with thee, notwithstanding the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honour, for the Lord shall sell Sisera, he was the enemy, into the hand of a woman. So this reluctance, while I've said it's right for us always to desire the company of God's word in whatever we're doing, nevertheless, there was something wrong about the reluctance that Barak showed. And God's spokeswoman, Deborah, says, it'll not be for your honour that you are going, but you will only go if I accompany you. Because God's going to give the victory for Israel by the hand of a woman. Do you understand this, boys and girls? It's not always men that are the heroes in God's great work. Here are two women. One, God's spokeswoman, Deborah, but also another woman whom God is going to make the one whose hand will bring victory to Israel. Verse 21 of Judges chapter 4 tells us this. Then Jael, who was the wife of Heber, took a nail of the tent. In other words, it actually was probably a metal tent peg. Wouldn't have been a wee nail that we hammer into a piece of wood. It would have been quite a lengthy spike. And she takes this in her hand, along with a hammer, which again wouldn't have been the hammer you see in woodwork, a claw hammer we call it, but it would have been more like a mallet or a small sledgehammer. So she must have had the right muscle in her arm to use this. So she took this nail and this hammer and went softly onto Sisera, who was lying sleeping, and she put the spike on his temple and she hit it one mighty blow. and that was him dead by the hand of a woman. Wasn't Barak? Oh, he had gained the victory on the battlefield over the army of Sisera, but the final blow that brought total victory to Israel on that day was a woman. And her name is here in the Bible. She's not forgotten about. Now, there's tens of thousands of battles have taken place in the history of the world, the heroes of which we know nothing about. Know nothing about. How many battles were there in the Second World War, the First World War, the Korean War? And we know nothing about the men who gained victories, many of them. No, yes, there are names mentioned in history books. But there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of men who gain great honour on the battlefield. Their names you don't know, but God has put into his record the name of this woman, Jael. And that's only one example of those we might call heroines, great women in the cause of God, great women whose actions have caused us here today to enjoy the gospel. If they hadn't have done what they did, then the cause of God would have faltered. God used them as a link in the chain. What about Rahab? She wasn't even an Israelite. But you believe God helped the spies that came to Jericho. And do you know, in the providence of God, she married a man and she became an ancestor of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus, with regards his humanity, could look to Mary, his mother, and they could go on back through the generations until he came to Rahab. She was one of God's heroines. What about Ruth? I find Ruth a most wonderful person, that which is revealed to us in the Bible. A humble, lowly, meek, lovely person. Everything about her that we read just makes you want to meet her and know her. And she too, in the providence of God, even though she was not of Israel, she was a Moabitess, was brought to faith in God, married a man, and she too became an ancestor of the Lord Jesus. So as I say, the Lord Jesus could look to Mary, his mother, and then go on back and back and back and back, and he would come to Ruth before he went on back another bit and came to Rahab. So Ruth played a major part in the great work of God. We have a Saviour today because of Ruth in the wonderful mystery of God's purpose. What about Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus? Now, let me just say this as an aside. You will often hear Mary called the Mother of God. That's a title the Roman Catholic Church places upon her. No person, no woman could be the Mother of God. Your mother is older than you. She came before you. And if Mary is the mother of God, that means she's older than God. She came before God. She was the mother of the Lord Jesus in that he who was from all eternity came into this world and brought into union with his divine nature, human nature. The Lord Jesus was divine and human. He had two natures, and his human nature was derived from Mary. Always keep in your mind that little distinction and reject the term Mary, the Mother of God. But she was a great woman. Mary was a great woman. You have her prayer in the New Testament. What a mighty prayer it was as she praised the Lord. Then there were other Marys. Mary Magdalene. There was Mary and her sister Martha. All played a great role. Then just this morning, I read of a lady called Phoebe, Romans chapter 16. I read of this dear woman. She was a great woman too. Paul the Apostle pays particular attention to her, Romans chapter 16. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Caesarea. She worked for the church. And she worked so hard that Paul's attention was drawn to her labours. And he commended her for her labours and asked everybody to notice the labours that she performed. She would have been a very quiet person who wasn't looking for praise didn't consider what you were doing of any great importance, but God did, and he inspired Paul to write these words, which you and I, 2,000 years later, are reading. That's how old is the record of this godly woman. I'm thinking, too, of another woman whose name we don't know. Matthew chapter 26. I read this not that long ago. Matthew chapter 26 and the verse 7. It says, there came a woman, while the Savior was in a friend's house, there came a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment. Not just precious, God wants you to know, but very precious, very costly, and poured it on the Savior's head. She anointed him. Back then, that was a most wonderful and humble and praiseworthy action. She was honoring the Lord. In the Bible, you'll read of prophets getting anointed. You'll read of kings getting anointed. You'll read of high priests getting anointed. The Lord Jesus was all three. And this woman saw in Christ all three. She knew who he was far better than Peter did, or John, or any of the rest of the apostles at that time. That woman had more understanding who Jesus was. And she anoints him. And of course she is scolded by the men. How dare she? What you doing? What a waste of this precious ointment. She should have sold it and gave the money to the poor. The Lord rebuked them. And then he said something else, something that in a sense refers to us here today. In the verse 13, after this incident has taken place and he's rebuked those who have mocked her for what she did, he said, verily, that word means truly, verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. We're today conducting a memorial service to this woman by mentioning her, as the Lord said she would be mentioned wherever the gospel was preached. Now that indicates that though we don't know her name, for her name's not given, nevertheless, in God's eyes, she was a very, very important person. So much so, he wants all of us never to forget her. Never to forget her. Oh, I tell you, boys and girls, women have played a very vital role in the service of God throughout the ages. Just this morning I read about the ladies who on the morning of resurrection were there at his tomb. Not Peter, not John, not Matthew, not James, none of them. They were all somewhere or other shivering with fear. Ladies were there. Soon as the Sabbath had ended and the new day had begun, they were there. And they brought the message of the Savior's resurrection to the gathering of the apostles. They were the first preachers of the resurrection. Of course, the men didn't believe them. And the Lord, when he himself appeared to them on that resurrection morning, the first thing he did was scold the men for not believing what the women had said. Oh, boys and girls, learn that lesson. Faith, not just the man thing. Sarah, we are told secondly here, Sarah became the mother of nations. God used this woman to become the source of millions and millions of people. Most importantly, of her sprang the Lord Jesus Christ. I mentioned how that Ruth was in the line of the Redeemer, and how that Rahab was in the line of the Redeemer. But before them, Sarah. Of her came Isaac, and of Isaac came Jacob, and of Jacob came Judah, and of Judah came the Lord Jesus, eventually. Sarah was a key part in the human chain, whereby the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. If you're saved today, in the grand and mysterious purpose of God, your salvation was made possible through the faith that Sarah exercised. Yes, when she was told by the Lord that even though she was a very old woman, she was going to be a mother. She laughed. Because it was unheard of. But you never read in the Bible of Sarah laughing again in unbelief, because she believed what God said. When Sarah laughed, God answered her laugh with words that we have used and which God's people have been using now for thousands of years. The words of God in response to poor Sarah's astonishment at such an announcement are these: "Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." What is too hard in man's eyes, and at that time was too hard for Sarah to comprehend. Not too hard for God, and she had a son. She had a son. You know, boys and girls, here we are today, and every one of us are the result of God working and granting to our mothers a child. God has a role, has a part in the birth of children. As our text says, she judged him faithful who promised. We never read, as I've said, of Sarah laughing in unbelief after this. She believed God, believed what God said. And even though she was old and past the age that it might be expected she would have a son, at the set time as God, she had a son. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare unto him, Isaac. And you know that Isaac had Jacob, and Jacob had all the sons that became the head of the tribes of Israel. And from his son Judah there came the Lord Jesus. Right there as a key link in that chain was Sarah. Let us all take note then of the place that the ladies have in the service of God. And you girls, you learn there is a role for you in God's work. And you boys, there is a role for you too. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, we pray that you'll bless your word to all the hearts. Especially we pray that you'll bless the girls today. And thank thee for Sarah and all who were of her spirit who have served God in times past. Help us to walk in their footsteps in these dark times, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.